In the wee hours of the morning, Mr. Smith was rushed to the emergency room at the hospital via an ambulance. Mr. Smith is a 48-year-old male suffering from multiple myeloma, a type of cancer that affects the plasma in the bone marrow. 6 months earlier, he had received a bone marrow transplant in the hope that it would eradicate the cancer in his system. And he had been doing incredibly well. But now things had turned dramatically worse. The fellow in the emergency room assessed his situation and made an early morning call to the attending physician who was at home. They together came up with a regimen of treatment, doing everything within their power to keep Mr. Smith alive. When the attending physician did make it to the emergency room, he and the fellow went into the waiting room to speak with Mr. Smith's wife. Mrs. Smith, I'm the attending physician, and I've got to tell you that your husband is very, very ill. He has multiple organ failures, and it is a result of him having pneumonia. Mrs. Smith, I've got to be very honest with you. Your husband has less than a 1% chance to live. Less than a 1% chance to live. What does one do when given so little hope? In 597 BC, the children of God went through one of the most disparaging times in the history of Israel. It was during this era that the evil king Nebuchadnezzar, along with his mighty Babylonian army, laid siege upon the nation of Israel. They took the holy city of Jerusalem. They completely destroyed the fortifying walls surrounding Jerusalem. They went into the holy temple and sacrificed a swine on the altar, desecrating the temple. They separated the leaders of the people from the people of the land. And the Davidic kingdom was now removed to being in jail in Babylon. The people began to wonder, and they found themselves in the midst of a parched desert of dry bones. And they began to wonder, what are we to do when we have so little hope? After sharing the bad news with Mrs. Smith about her husband, Mr. Smith, the attending physician went home. It was later in the day, and his young daughter came up to him and said, "Dad, where were you this morning?" You see, they had this time where they had a father-daughter binding time together each and every day, and the daughter so longed for this, and her father longed for this time, but it had been interrupted. And he looked at his daughter and said, "Sweetie, I got a call early this morning, and someone at the hospital was incredibly ill, so I had to go and see if I could do something to help him to be healed." So his young daughter looked at him and said, "Well, I'm going to go and make him a get well card." And off she went. The next morning, the attending physician, her father, woke up and greeted the daughter as she came down the steps. And in her hand was a get well card. She handed it to her father. Sweetie, do you mind if I look at the card? No, Dad, go ahead. On the cover of the card, she had drawn a picture of a lot of flowers, and circling the flowers was a bumblebee. A bumblebee. He opened the card, and within it was a saying from one of his daughter's favorite books. It went something like this. According to recognized aerotechnical tests, the bumblebee cannot fly because of the shape and weight of the body in relation to the total wing area. But the bumblebee does not know this. So he goes ahead and flies anyway. Get well soon. The physician took his daughter's get well card, went to the hospital, got Mr. Smith's chart, and he was absolutely no better. No better. As he exited the room, he looked behind him, and there Mrs. Smith was with her family, gathered together, weeping at the bedside of Mr. Smith. Ezekiel was one of the prophets called upon by God to speak to his people. Taken up in a vision by God, initially all he can see is mounds and mounds of dry bones in the midst of a parched desert. What a rich metaphor for a people who have lost everything and are in the midst of a state of despair. And then the great God Almighty looks at his prophet Ezekiel, and he confronts him with this question: Son of man, can these bones live again? And with gut-wrenching honesty, Ezekiel looks at the Almighty and says, O sovereign Lord, you alone, no. It is very important at this particular point to realize that Ezekiel doesn't refer to God by just any name. He refers to God as the most holy name, Yahweh, and is as a way to put an exclamation point behind the most holy name for God, he calls God sovereign. So even in the midst of the most disparaging time in the nation of the people of God, Ezekiel said, God, you are still in control. You are still in control. So I ask you again, what does one do when given so little hope? And what Ezekiel teaches us in his relationship with the divine is that we believe anyway. We believe anyway. In his book, Faith Works, Jim Wallace shares that when things seem absolutely impossible, change begins when someone, when anyone is willing to believe. Speaking about the changes to apartheid and the falling of the Berlin Wall, Wallace says this: people had to really believe such things could be done before they were possible. That believing is the essence of faith and the beginning of any change. Hope always precedes change. Hope is the substance of faith and the only absolutely indispensable ingredient for individual and social reform. Wasn't that card that daughter shared with Mr. Smith and Mrs. Smith, wasn't it a message of hope? Of hope? Listen again to the quote that was in that card. According to recognized aerotechnical test, the bumblebee cannot fly because of the shape and weight of the body in relation to the total wing area. But the bumblebee doesn't know this, so he goes ahead and flies anyway. God looks at Ezekiel, one of the very first persons to have been deported away from the holy city of God to Babylon. A man who has seen his beloved city destroyed, the sacred temple desecrated, the Davidic kingdom imprisoned in a foreign land. God looks at Ezekiel and asks the great prophet, who is gazing over heaps of dry bones in a parched desert, "Son of man, can these bones live again?" After Ezekiel's response of belief, God gives him a new hope. "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Miraculously, after days and weeks had gone by with no improvement, Mr. Smith began to heal. When the physician came in to check on his patient, he found Mrs. Smith hopeful, keeping a near constant vigil by her husband's bedside. As the physician began to reflect on these events, he tried to come to terms with how someone who had less than 1% chance of survival could have made such a turn. "The physician in me," he says, "attributes his improvement to evidence-based therapy. But what of the contributions of hope and faith? In my father's and my daughter's universe of unicorns, princes, in Hogwarts, belief trumps all." Her message of hope resonated with Mrs. Smith, who later acknowledged it in a gift to my daughter. On the last day that he attended Mr. Smith in the hospital, Mrs. Smith came up to him this time with a box and a card. And in that box was a bumblebee brooch for his daughter. And in the card, she said, "I want to share with you this bumblebee hope, this bumblebee brooch, which is a symbol of hope, which your note instilled within me." The physician thus concludes, "I cannot prove it, but I strongly believe that my daughter's message of optimism rallied Mr. Smith by rallying Mrs. Smith." I must confess to you this morning that I do not know that kind of despair. I do not know what it is like to live in a concentration camp and not to know from day to day whether or not I'm going to be escorted to the gas chamber. I do not know what it is like to have a bloated belly because I have not had enough food to eat and wonder from day to day whether or not I'm going to have any nutrition to eat. I do not know what it is like to lie in a hospital bed having a diagnosis that more than likely I'm not going to survive, and having doctors scratching their heads wanting to help me but not knowing how to help. But I do know the emptiness of sin and the depression that willful disobedience brings as a result of my trespasses. And I can stand before you today and tell you that I have never faced a circumstance in my life without some semblance of hope. Without some semblance of hope. After a time of great discipline, and while in the midst of depression and despair, the very first gift God gave His children in exile was the restoration of their hope. Then He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord.'" So again, I ask you, what do we do when given such little hope? We do what Ezekiel did. We do what the physician's daughter did. We do what Mrs. Smith did. We do what that bumblebee does. We believe anyway. We believe anyway. And regardless of whether our spouse is healed or our nation is restored, putting our faith in the great God of grace can lead us through any and all of life's struggles, and can lead us through a time of despair and instill within us the hope that we desperately need, because it is hope that keeps both faith and love alive. Breathe into these dry bones, O God, a new breath of life. Let us pray. O holy and infinite God, one who is able to perfectly administer both justice and mercy, we pray, O God, that you will help us to believe. Instill within us the hope that we need to face all of the struggles that we are encountering within our own personal lives, within our family, within our church, within our nation. We need hope. And it is to you, O God, that we cling. For this is our prayer that is breathed in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.